We're so excited to be with you. We're like a puppy with two tails, I'm telling you. We're excited. You have no idea always what a blessing it is to be at this church. And I feel like we're starting to be a part of the furniture around here. I looked at Pastor Ed yesterday because it seems like I've gotten locked out of that back door so many times. You know, you step out of that, it's like Fort Knox around there. You know, you just don't go in and out of that place. There has to be a key available, you know. I've been locked. And so finally I looked at Pastor Ed. I said, Pastor Ed, how long do we have to come here to get our own key? And then I said to Pastor Greg yesterday at the restaurant, I said, you know what? It would be my heart's desire to look at Ray Toucher in the Shekinah Glory and say, and show him a picture of me holding a key to the back door of Redeeming Love Christian Center. I just think that would bring me such pleasure to let them know. Anyways. All right, we're going to take that picture after service. I'm going to send it to Brother Ray. But I feel like we're getting close. And then I told Pastor, I said, just about the time they give me a key, they're going to update the security system and it's all going to be fingerprint. They're going to have to come back the next year and get my fingerprint on there. But anyways, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start reading with verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you with excellence of speech of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Everyone say the testimony of God. Now, do I have to preach that for a while? Or when I say the testimony of God, how many of you would just believe that God has a testimony? How many of you know God's got a track record? How many of you know there is absolutely no failure? He's never failed ever once or even come close to it. God's never said, oops, or oh, or I didn't know about that. He's never done that. Verse 2 says, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Wow, that's quite a statement. Of all the things he knew, but he says, really, I really don't know anything except this. Jesus Christ, him crucified. That is the gospel message, is that God sent Jesus to reconcile man back unto the Father, unto God through Jesus Christ. That was his whole plan. But verse 3 says, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration. I want to say demonstration. I believe that the Holy Ghost is craving, desiring to demonstrate. I was listening to a tape one time by Brother Hagin. He was talking about two churches. One had a move of the Spirit and one didn't. He went to the one that did. He said it wasn't anything spectacular, but you could tell there was such a move of the Spirit there. And then he said this statement, and I'll never forget it. And be glad you're in a church that is all in on this. And that is, he said this. He goes, it seems to me, if the Holy Spirit is present, sooner or later, he's going to want to manifest. Let me say it again. If the Holy Spirit is present, if you've ever gone to a church for a period of time and there's no move of the Spirit, it would make one wonder. I'm just saying. I don't have a microphone to drop right now or anything. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but within demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want you to know that preaching causes an activation of power. He said, my preaching is a demonstration. Unction and utterance from heaven is a demonstration. And 1 John 2:20 says, you have an anointing. You have an unction. How many of you know that although those called to the pulpit ministry being the fivefold ministry, the prophet, the evangelist, the apostle, the teacher, the pastor, that the Bible says we've all been called to the ministry of reconciliation. And you have on you, and we may look at a few scriptures, you have the same anointing. The Holy Ghost is not twins, he's not triplets, there's only one Holy Ghost. And the same one that was on Jesus in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, where it says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. The same power, the same anointing, the same Holy Ghost that was on Jesus is on you. And we see in Luke's Gospel, the 4th chapter, the 18th verse, we see where when Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And then again and again, he called me to preach. He called me to preach. He called me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But he said again, preach, preach, preach. If you're anointed, if you have an unction, if the Holy Ghost and the gift of his presence is in your life, you're anointed, you have an unction, and he wants you to testify. Because there's a need in this world for righteousness to have a voice. We're at a time where righteousness needs to be heard. And how will they hear unless there's a preacher? Can you say amen? Turn to that scripture, if you would, to Revelation chapter 12. We know here in verse 7, there was war in heaven. How many of you know if there's a war any place and it's God against somebody else, and in this case it was Satan, how many of you know that anyone opposing God is just going to lose? Matter of fact, when Satan was kicked out of heaven, it says he was shot out like lightning to the earth. You know, sometimes people are so mindful and thoughtful and so reverent about the devil and whatever he's doing. But I want you to know, the Bible says in Isaiah, one day we're going to see him for who he is, and we're going to look at him and go, "You mean this is the one that shook the nations and made the kingdoms of the world be at fear and ought with one another? Are you kidding me?" And one translation says, "His body is thrown out as a branch, as a carcass in the road." So one day you and I are going to see the devil for who he is, and we're going to say he's nothing but roadkill. You know, you might as well go ahead and see him for who he is right now. If he's above your foot, you know he's a lot higher than he should be. How many of you know that the devil's under your feet? Everyone say, "The devil's under my feet." But it says here, let's just read that verse. Verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death." I just want to add this little thought right here at this moment, and that is, if you'll get free from the fear of death, you've got everything whipped. Here we're being admonished to not love your life even unto death. That you would even be, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the name of Jesus, and there will be those at one day, and I believe, and I trust that what we've understood in the Word of God, that we'll be caught up together with Christ and meet him in the air, and we'll reign with him in heaven, and then we'll revisit this earth. But there will be those before and after the rapture, that there will be people that some will be given another chance to confess Jesus. And if they don't confess Jesus, they will give up their life at that point. And so, you know, there will be that moment of great fear for our loss of life. But really, you know, when you realize how non-significant death really is, the devil tries to make death out to be some glorified event, and it's like, oh, it's like the ultimate worst thing that could ever. No, it is just a simple crossing over to the other side of where you're going to end up anyways. You just get to the head of the line faster than somebody else. I mean, after all, it's appointed to every man once to die. We're all going to eventually die. We're going to end up in the place that we've all have known for all these years. It's the hope that keeps us anchored that we're going to see him face to face. Aren't you glad you're going to see the Lord and Savior and your Master face to face one day? And don't you know that nothing else is ever going to matter ever again? And eternity is a long time. It's a long time. And I know some people, you know, it's not so much dying maybe that is such a horrible fear for some. It's the, what will I experience up to the moment of dying, you know? What will my body be going through? What will my mind be experiencing? What will that all be like, you know? But I tell you what, there is a great freedom in settling in your heart. I don't have a care about that. I don't have a worry about that. I mean, I am destined for heaven. No matter what, that's where my ultimate home destination is. I mean, we're seated in heavenly places spiritually, but there'll be a day that we actually we go to the other side. Amen. So I tell you what, let's do this. I want to tell you about some things. I have been stirred up. I've noticed some things. Before I do that, look at Titus real quick. Turn, if you would, to Titus. We're talking about overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and specifically the word of your testimony. But here we were just talking about eternal life in God. Verse 2, 1 Timothy, Titus, excuse me, Titus chapter 1, excuse me, Titus chapter 1. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but this is a powerful revelation that God manifests his word through preaching. Everyone say, God manifests his word through preaching. That means it's kind of like when Jesus said, you can have what you say. It's just like what it says when God's word says, have the faith of God. What would that be? He believed something and he said something, and the creative power of God manifested. Everyone say, God's word, when spoken or preached or declared, manifests something. Hallelujah. I have a minister friend. Praise the Lord, I have a friend. Amen. He is very close to Rodney Howard Brown. And my friend and I, we enjoy playing golf together, but it's more about that. We have great fellowship around the word and the things of the Lord. And this particular minister, he happens to be a Rhema graduate years ago. And he's a revivalist. There are people that are in the body of Christ, they're revivalists. What does a revivalist do? It recalibrates people to the purity of desiring and their first love in Jesus. It's a revivalist exposes sin in the world, kind of like what Pastor Greg was doing. He was making distinction between the world and the body of Christ. We need to see these things really clearly. But my buddy was telling me about something that happened to him. There was a time when he was sacrificing, and the Lord said to him, I want you to follow Brother Rodney Howard Brown, because he was preaching about healings and miracles all the time, but wasn't seeing any. I mean, we preach nothing's too big for God, and then we get into services, and there's needs, and there's situations that need to be ministered to, and, you know, you kind of leave sometimes if nothing changes. You kind of leave, you as a minister, you ought to be dissatisfied. Because we know that there's power in the word of God. And God confirms his word. And so then when you don't see some things, your mind begins to wonder. So he got so hungry for God. You know, your hunger will take you to an encounter in God. And then your encounter will give you a testimony. Let me say that again. Your hunger will take you into an encounter with God. And your encounter will give you a testimony. I remember talking to my buddy, my friend Jim Hockaday. He ministered at, well, he was the manager of the Raymond Singers and Band for a long time. He ministered in Brother Hagin's Healing School for a very long time. And one time they were at a burger place in Tulsa, and Rodney Howard Brown was ministering at Rhema. And at lunch, because Jimmy and Rodney Howard Brown, back when Rodney Howard Brown, the only thing he preached was he literally, practically read out of Brother Hagin's books. A lot of us have done that. And they were, Jim was asking Rodney, because back in the late 80s and 90s, Rodney Howard Brown had an extraordinary experience in God. And as a result, his meetings were huge outpourings and manifestations and demonstrations and the joy of the Lord. And people were experiencing a tangible touch of the Lord that some of them had never experienced. Let me just ask you, you know, we talk about faith is not based upon what you see or feel, but how many of you know that in God, when you're connected to Him, how many of you know you're going to experience a whole lot of feelings? I'm not afraid. Matter of fact, I love feeling God's presence. I'm going to go on the record and say, I love feeling His presence. Let me tell you that I'm excited about feeling His presence. How many of you ever been in a service where the glory of God was so strong, you almost felt stuck to your seat? You couldn't hardly move. Have you ever had one of those services? I'm sure this, if you've been in this church and you've been in this building, you've been in the presence of God, you go, I got to have me some more of that. I need some more of that. Because you know what? Every time you get filled, you're going to get depleted again. But when you get filled, the presence of God moves into and occupies a place in you and in your spirit that until it gets satisfied again, you'll never be satisfied. So that's why these experiences in God, these encounters, when you press in. So Brother Jimmy said, Brother Rodney, when did all this start happening? He goes, I'll tell you when it happened. He goes, I got really hungry for God. He goes, I got really, really, really hungry for God. He said, that wasn't enough. I got really, 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 I was aching. I was hurting. I was like, I wasn't satisfied. I was really, really, really hungry for God. And then that wasn't enough. Then I got really, 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 I mean, I was really, really, really hungry for God. He goes, and that wasn't enough. He said, I still wasn't satisfied. I got really, 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 and this is how he's telling, because this is how he was told to me. He goes, I got really, 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 I got desperate. I got hungry for God. God said, if those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. He satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with his goodness. When you get hungry for God, you're going to have an encounter with God. When you have an encounter with God, you're going to have a testimony. And when you give your testimony, it will activate, it will release God's power and His anointing to change things in your life and other people's lives. Rodney reached over to Jimmy, he said, Jim, take my hand. He goes, now take Aaron's hand. They're at a burger place. They got mustard on their face. They're talking about this hunger. He said, this is what happened when I got really, really hungry. He goes, take my hand. Power of God went into him and knocked out Aaron at the table. Knocked her out in the power of God. She was like drunk at the burger place.
That's right.
This is what happens when you get really, 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 you get a little desperate.
Yes.
You get that extra hunger. You're not just floating through life saying, oh, I got enough. Everything's okay with my life. I'm going to just let things just ride the way they are. No, if you're not satisfied, go ahead and come on in. Get a new desire. Get a new hunger. Press on in. I'm going to find someone that shares this common with me this morning. I'm looking for someone in this building. How many of you know that God, Smith Wigglesworth said that God will pass over a million people just to get to one person that's looking for him, that's believing him, that's trusting him, that's got their faith reaching out for him. Is there anybody in this room like that? Well, half of you do. No, I saw a lot more hands than that. So my friend and I, my golfing buddy, we're talking. He said, the Lord said, follow Brother Rodney. You need what's happened in him. You need someone sometimes to take you by the hand. Let's go into this together. That's what us preachers do. We want to take you by the hand this morning. Come on, let's walk into this place in God today. Come on, you want to have a new encounter with God? You want to experience something different? Are you satisfied with everything just the way it's been? Do you want to step up? Do you want to, have a greater testimony? You want more victory in your life? So he said, I was going to all of his meetings. I mean, sometimes it was painful. The Lord said, no, keep going. Well, he's got his own ministry, and he's going to all of his services. Well, one time they were on the beach, Panhandle, Florida. Brother Rodney and my friend Richard was on the beach. And they were talking. Rodney said, well, I got to get it ready for the service. I'm going to go up to my hotel room. Brother Rodney went up to his hotel room. He's looking out the window, and he sees Brother Richard down there on the beach, just looking at the waves. And the Lord said, go back down there and tell Richard he's passed the test. And that now I can use him. You know, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. We're all called. But the one that gets chosen is the one that stays faithful and obedient. 30 years ago, that was my ministry back there behind that screen in the Kenneth Hagin room. I had the privilege of leading literally hundreds. I will go out and comfortably say thousands of people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've had nights at Keith Butler's church in Detroit where 400 people a night all receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues for the first time, all at once, just like that, every night. But here I am preaching to you. I'm in the same room with Pastor Sarah. I'm in the same room where Brother Hagin ministered. Do you think this just happens overnight? Rodney went down there. Come up here, brother. Rodney went down there, my friend Richard's facing the ocean. He walked up behind him and says, the Lord said you passed the test. That's all I needed. I had never seen my friend minister before. I went online. Brother Rodney was having him fill in for him. Couple months ago. He does that a lot with my friend Richard. So it was live streaming. Isn't it cool, our technology now? And so I'm watching him, and he does this demonstration. He says to him, I'm talking about your testimony is alive. You're going to get something this morning, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, you're going to get something. The testimony of the Lord in your life, when spoken, declared, preached, it's living. It's living. There's active ingredients when it's spoken and released. My friend Richard got up in the service, and I thought, I've never seen him minister. This is going to be interesting. I'm because my buddy, man, I've never seen him minister. It's the first time watching him. He called up somebody, like I did my brother. He said, Brother Rodney came up behind me and he tapped me 3 times. He says, you passed the test. This brother that he did that to, I mean, fell out under the power of God. Just telling the testimony of what happened that day. He said, now you, brother, come on up here. He goes, let me try this again. calls up somebody else, taps on his shoulder. This is what Brother Rodney said. You passed the test. Power of God hit him on the floor. He goes, oh, I can't use him anymore. He says, come over here. So this other man came up there. He goes, so Brother Rodney walked up to me, walked up behind me, tapped me on the shoulder three times, said, you passed the test. Boom, just out. Power of God hit him, one after another. And I got to thinking about that. Just telling his experience activates. I was in a service with Keith Moore, and Keith and Phyllis Moore. They invited Annie and I to assist and help out in a three-hour TBN taping, a healing meeting. Richard Roberts was there. Dodie Osteen was there telling her testimony. This whole three-hour service was beautifully orchestrated, great testimonies. The music was anointed for healing. Ray Jean Wilson was singing. Annie was singing. And there was one person that was invited that I couldn't figure out why he was invited. Nothing against this person. It all makes sense to me now, but let me explain. Does anybody know who Dino Kartsanakis is? Very talented. And I'll go out and say very anointed, but his business card says showman. When I think about ministers and people that are preaching the gospel, being a showman and being a preacher, that we're servants, those two things don't compute very well in my head. So you understand where I'm coming from? So I knew why all these other people were invited. Annie has a particularly strong healing anointing. You know, the others, Richard Roberts, Dodie Osteen, Keith and Phyllis. We're in this meeting, and all of a sudden, Brother Keith introduces Dino. And so I'm going, here we go. We're going to see why he's here. You know what he does? He gets up and he starts talking about, he goes, some of you all don't know this, but I used to travel and I used to play for Catherine Kuhlman. He said, and Catherine Kuhlman had a favorite song, and I'm going to play it for you now. Walks over the piano, puts his hands on the keyboard, and plays the first chord of He Touched Me. And when he did that, one first chord, Annie turns to me and she goes, the healing anointing just manifested in my hands. How many of you know there's no distance in the realm of the spirit? Do you know that God, there's residual, active releasing of God's power and his ability and anointing in an experience that he does and then is retold? Y'all ever heard of a man named Kenneth Hagin? He has a testimony about the rock wall vision where the Lord appeared to him at the top of a tent and said, come up hither, come up to the throne of God. And he came up. He thought someone was just up on the hill kind of trying to interrupt a meeting. How many times have you all heard that testimony here? Well, he gets caught away in the spirit. And then Jesus took the finger of his right hand and put it in the palm of both of his hands. He said, I've called you, I've anointed you to minister healing to the sick. He said, I want you to lay your hands, this anointing that's going into your hands, I want you to lay your hands on people. He said, I didn't tell you to lay your head on people. I didn't tell you to lay your head on anyone, but this anointing is in your hands. And when you tell the people, he said, I want you to tell the people I appear to you, and I want you to tell the people I put the finger of my right hand in the palm of both of your hands. And he says, the bolder you tell it, everyone say, I got a testimony. Come on now, do you believe you have a testimony? Come on, has God done something for you? Have you been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and been translated into the kingdom of his dear son? Do you have a, has he ever done anything for you? You got to get it out of your mouth because there is active ingredients. There is power, anointing that will be released and activated the bolder and the more often you tell your testimony. Righteousness needs a voice. So Brother Hagin would tell that boldly. Well, you know, Annie, Brother Hagin, in the last 2 or 3 years that we were with him, and this all goes and connects us into tonight. But he laid hands on her hands many times, and then the healing anointing, by association, just got transferred into her. That burning coal of fire, that tangible thing that he described, he said he'd want to rub his hands on his sides of his legs just to get relief. It was just so hot. Well, that would manifest every time Brother Hagin would lay his hands on Annie's hands, and then she would go and minister with that anointing. But there was a time that it just got transferred, and then eventually Brother Hagin says, Annie, is that anointing on you? She said, yes, sir, it is. Go minister to the people. After a while, he didn't have to lay hands on her anymore. Well, that was wonderful. But then in 1994, we were praying in a hotel room with some ministers, David Ellis, Mark and Janet Berzee. We were attending one of Brother Hagin's meetings in Ozark. Brother Hagin was there, and Mark Berzee called Andy and I up and says, hey, we're going to pray for the meetings. We're going to pray Acts chapter 4. Would you guys like to come and pray for, we're going to pray for Brother Hagin, we're going to pray for the crusade team. So we're in this hotel room, and we start praying, and the presence of God manifested in such a way. Sister, I got water right here. I'm okay. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and drink and make you feel better, all right? All right. Man, I love this church. Amen. They're not going to be let someone out on their own, man. They're going to look out for you. So we're in this hotel room, and Annie starts to leave her body. Now, she's already, for several years, been operating with this anointing by association with Brother Hagin. She starts to leave her body, and she's looking down on her body, and she didn't know she was dying, to be honest. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and you would maybe your mind begins to kind of wonder what's going on. Well, she looked like she was in travail. She looked distressed. She was crying. She looked overwhelmed. She looked like she was in pain. I've never seen anything. I never saw her look like this before or after. And so all of a sudden, she goes against the wall, and she goes down to the floor, and she holds her arms out. And something was happening. I remember I'm looking at the bed, and I'm looking at Janet, look at Mark Berzee, and say, should we go get Brother Hagin? He's a couple doors down. Sometimes there's been times when people would get stuck in the spirit and they need to be released. I'm not trying to be woo-woo way out there. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. And so Mark said, no, hold on. And so Annie looked at Mark and said, Mark, would you come here? And then she said, Kevin, would you come here? She goes, would you take my hand? She goes, can you feel this? And the reason why she was is because there was an anointing that went into her hands and up to her shoulders. It went into her fingers, up her arms, and to her shoulders. And it was like she was holding on to, she said it was so painful, it was like holding on to 240-volt cables. Like it got a hold of you, you got a hold of it, and you can't let go, and it's painful. Now, Brother Hagin's anointing was that with like, it felt like coal. He was holding coals of fire. This one was like electrical force. She said if she waved her arm, she said it would feel like it was like Darth Vader waving that sword. Well, she said, Mark, can you feel that? And Mark said, no, and I couldn't feel it. So then, as she's sitting there, the Lord began to speak to her. And the Lord said this. He goes, I was calling you up just like I called up Brother Hagin. He said, but you drew back in fear because you did not know what's happening. He said, so I had to deliver what I'm delivering to you in the flesh. He says, it would have been so much easier on you if you would have come up and received it in the spirit. He said, but because you would not come, he said, that's why it was so painful in your flesh. He said, now this anointing is yours. And so she doesn't really use or operate in that anointing by association with Brother Hagin. The Lord said. And I was telling some pastors, how many of you have ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse? We were entertaining that's an anointed place, I'm telling you. If you ever, I don't want to get distracted, but I'm just saying. They bring all that carved meat out to you. I could have like two gifts of the Spirit manifest just looking at that meat, I'm telling you. But we're sitting there, and I'm telling that story about my friend Richard when he would just say and showed what the Lord said when he said, you pass the test. And it brought revelation to Annie, and we started talking about this more, the reality about this testimony being alive. And it awakened us to the reality that there's a reason why God says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And then you see in Titus, the first chapter, that the preaching of the word brings manifestation. Are you all here? Yes. Well, how many of you remember in the 10th chapter, trying to get through this real quick because I got just a couple more things. Acts chapter 10, we see Cornelius. And he was a devout man, and he was a centurion. I'm liking the centurions, because that one that came to Jesus, he said, oh, I have not found such great faith. So this particular centurion, this upright man, he gave his alms, because God said, your alms and your prayers have come up before me. And he says, there's a man named Peter you need to go find, because he's got words for you. So while that's going on, Peter is at his house, and the Lord took him up on the, or he's up on the housetop praying, and the Lord shows him in an open vision, there's a man coming to you. And I want you to go with these men, and I want you to talk to this man. So here's, we've got the Holy Ghost working on both sides. And so all of a sudden from Joppa, Cornelius is in Caesarea, and they go to Joppa. They find Peter, and Peter goes, I knew you were coming. Let's go tomorrow. So they go there. Cornelius gets down on his knees when he sees Peter because he knows he's about to have a visitation because the Lord spoke to him. Peter gets up and starts talking about what happened on the crucifixion, how Jesus was raised from the dead. And then he starts talking about how the Holy Ghost was poured out. And he just starts talking about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And guess what happens? The Holy Ghost got poured out. Peter is just talking about what happened to him, and the power of God is being activated. Are you all making connections to all this? I believe there's just something here. Like I said, I've never preached this before, but I just believe there's something here that we need to see, that there's something that's activated. And so Annie was saying, I'm seeing something about the reason why I must tell it, because it's an activating force. I was in India, and the Lord woke me up early in the morning. He said, I've got an assignment for you, and that is, there's a new anointing for a new harvest. He said, I'm going to begin to have you lay hands on people for a new anointing for a new harvest. Everyone say a new anointing for a new harvest. I would like to take more time with this, but I need to get to something else because we don't have all day. But I'll just say this. When I came back from India, we started ministering that word. The Lord told us. He gave us a commission to lay hands on people for a new anointing, for a new harvest. When I would talk about that, because it was a Holy Ghost experience. I know. How many of you have ever heard the word of the Lord come unto your spirit? The Holy Spirit just made something real to you. You know it was the voice of the Lord. You know you couldn't have thought of that all up yourself. You know that was God. Someone raise your hand if you've ever had one of those experiences. How many of you know that you are the temples of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's supposed to lead you. One thing the world can't hardly comprehend, they don't mind you saying you talk to God, but what freaks them out is if you tell people of the world, God spoke to me. It freaks their freak. And it's supposed to be the most natural. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, those that love me and keep my commandments, I will reveal myself to him. The Amplified says, I will manifest myself to him, and I'll let myself be clearly seen by them. Why is it that Adam and Eve, not being born again or filled with the Holy Spirit, could walk in the cool of day, having complete, intelligent, sentences with God. Cain and Abel, second generation sinners, walked and they had complete and entire open dialogue with the Lord. And we think it's amazing if we think we heard one little lean of direction that maybe God was saying something to me. Are you all here today? Yes. It's supposed to be normal to hear from God. It's supposed to be normal. So we started just telling there's a new anointing for a new harvest. I was wanting to be able to say, like Dr. Dufresne used to do, just have the congregation stand up and go, "Be blessed!" He would do that sometimes, and Brother Hagin would do that. I mean, the whole roles would fall out, and I thought, Lord, can I do that instead of one by one? And yeah. I tell you, he said, nope. And I tell you what, a lot of churches, he wouldn't even let me minister that word. Called and chosen. And so that's another example. Just telling it activates. I grew up Pentecostal. My parents, I heard my parents praying in other tongues out loud every morning on their knees, crying out to God, worshiping God out loud. I heard my parents every day I woke up praying out loud in other tongues, worshiping the Lord. At a time when I was about 7 or 8 years old, here's a testimony. Here's my testimony. I had the worst case of allergies, the worst case of asthma a person could have. I am not exaggerating. I'm not making this up. Sometimes I would breathe all night long like this, and here's one breath. And if you've ever breathed this way, you would wish you'd never had that experience. One breath. We're going all night long like that. I had such allergies. If I got around a cat, I ate ice cream, there was things I couldn't eat. My skin had rashes. It got old. One day my mom came. She used to work at the church a lot, counseling and whatnot. One day she came home. I was in the back bedroom taking a nap. She came in there. I was literally a slight color of blue and purple. I was losing oxygen. I was just kind of in and out of sleep, and I was dying. By all signs, I was limp. My color was horrible. My mom picked me up, brought me into the dining room table. She laid me on the dining room table, and my dad walked in from the postal service where he had been working for 21 years. And he goes, "What's wrong with Kevin?" My dad was a preacher. He wasn't a fivefold minister. He probably was, but no one recognized his calling officially. He didn't have anyone taken by the hand. It's the saddest thing ever, because he was called. David knows. Never made it over. But he had a traveling music ministry. I was in the ministry, started in the ministry when I was 2, sitting in my mom's lap, going to a different church every weekend, all throughout Florida. But here's this age, 9. I'm dying. I walk in. My parents had a connection. They had encounter with God. They had testimonies of victory. They had testimony of what God's done for them and how he's healed their bodies, how God has provided provision for them. They had testimonies of, in their ministry, the power of God would fall. They've seen things of God. My mom's had open vision. I would say my mom, and David can confirm this, my mom was like a female Lester Summerall. That's the only way I can describe her. I mean, devils were afraid of her, I'm telling you. She laid me on the table. My dad walked in. He goes, "What's wrong with Kevin?" And she goes, "Honey, he's dying. We either got to rush him to the hospital or we've got to have a miracle right now." And they backed up. I tell this, it's like I'm there. They just backed up and go, "God, either there's power in the blood or there's not. Either there's power in the name, or there's not. But we believe there is. And we believe you to touch Kevin's body right now. And we command this allergies and this asthma to leave him right now once and for all. That's it. We trust you, God. and they started lifting their hands and praising God, and all of a sudden a breath came into me, and I want you to know, to this day, I've never, ever had an asthma attack ever again. And if I had time, I'd pick up my trumpet right now and blow the highest, and I've done it before. I've gone places, and I've just picked up my horn, and I took a big breath and blow the longest, loudest, highest note, put my horn down and say, "Take that, devil." Now, let me ask you something. Did you sense anything when I just shared that with you?
Yes.
You'd be in trouble if you didn't. Did you see something was activated when I shared my testimony? Can I ask you again, how many of you have a testimony? Do you have a testimony today? I said, do you have a testimony today? Will the righteous of the Lord, will the redeemed of the Lord say something in this place today? Do you have a voice? Do you have a testimony? Do you have a desire to declare something today? Let me have a microphone. I believe, just real quickly, before we turn this over to Pastor Greg, real quickly. I believe there's someone here you need to declare. Because it's preaching that brings manifestation. Everyone say, it's preaching that brings manifestation. You're going to enter into a new place in your life when you realize when you talk to people, something's about to be activated. When you listen, there's people arguing the Quran, versus the Bible. Listen, no one can question your testimony. When you tell them what Jesus did for you and the righteousness, God's people needs a voice.